Would you look for the lowest price in choosing a plastic surgeon? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot. Bob's a CFI who runs Bob Miller Flight Training Online, based at in the Buffalo area. We're here to talk about safety issues and kind of one that's close to Bob's industry today. Bob, thanks for taking some time out for our listeners.
Well, Paul, as always, it's a pleasure to be with you.
All right. You have an article in the April edition of Over the Airwaves entitled Shopping for Flight Lessons, What to Look For. And you have brought up a complaint that I have about a lot of things in life now, where everything seems to have become a commodity and people seem to look for price alone and forget that price is not the sole determinant of value. Obviously, flight instructions gonna cost thousands of dollars if you're starting from scratch to go to the private pilot certificate or even sport pilot. And so I'm sure there's always pressure in the back of people's minds to look for saving a few bucks. But what were you trying to say in this article, and what is the correct way to try to find flight instruction?
Well, your observations are certainly correct, Paul. When we look at Craigslist, eBay, Priceline.com, if we're shopping for a hotel room and we have an objective way of measuring the quality of a hotel chain, that's a fair way to shop for a hotel room. If I'm going to go to a Marriott or a Hilton, I can either pay their rack rate of $180, or I can shop on Craigslist or Hotwire.com, and I can come up with the best price. But when we're shopping for something that's less definable in terms of quality, and I use as an example surgery, specifically plastic surgery, if the outcome that you desire can be nothing less than perfect, and just visualize, as I did here with a photo of a botched up plastic surgery case, if the outcome can be nothing less than perfect, then price alone cannot be the determinant on how we select the surgeon. The same thing can be said about flight instruction. Flight instruction varies all over the board. There is no, you know, two-star, three-star, four-star, five-star rating as we get in hotels. Here, we're just at the mercy of the integrity, the quality, the experience, and a wealth of resources brought to the table by a flight instructor. The flight instructor starting out, young people with no experience, they may be willing to teach out there for $15 or $20 an hour, and my contention is you're going to get pretty much what you pay for. If you want truly good quality flight instruction from a reputable source, from experienced flight instructors, by organizations that have some affiliation with accrediting bodies, you're going to get a much better end result. So I'm not just saying that the more expensive is automatically the better, but I am saying the cheaper, less expensive is not necessarily the best.
All right. Let's run down a couple of the factors you say to look for. When you talk about experience, this is one of those chicken and egg things. You know, obviously, if a flight instructor is starting out in the business, he will have no experience. What is the answer to that issue?
If he has no experience or she has no experience, then find a flight school. Find a flight school that you can go work at for several years. The flight school will be bringing in your customers. You'll be working under the tutelage of more senior flight instructors, more experienced flight instructors, and build up your experience that way. There is nothing like experience. There's just no two ways about it. And so the more experience we have, the more life experiences we can share. It's not so much imparting aircraft control skills. I've worked with a number of young flight instructors over the years, and every one of them, I mean, they can nail the aircraft maneuvers and skills. They do them beautifully. But when it comes to aeronautical decision-making, how would you handle this particular scenario? What would you do in this particular situation? They just haven't had the experience to answer that question with any degree of objectivity. So get experience by working for a flight school, and then, or just struggling through like all of us have had to do through the early years. We've all gone through it. We all know, if truth be told, we've made mistakes. You know, I myself, I shudder to think of some of the ways that I handled a student situation in my first 1 or 2 years as a flight instructor. I learned those lessons, and now those lessons benefit individuals that I'm fortunate enough to work with today.
All right. The second of five factors you mentioned is references. Obviously, if someone is starting out, they could gain access to references from former students the same way by going to work for a flight school. There's one thing that's not mentioned here specifically, and I remember when I was in primary flight training, when I went to ground school, and I completed ground school and had my knowledge test passed before I ever took my first hour of flight training, which isn't necessarily recommended, but I went through three ground instructors in 10 weeks because these were younger guys who had hooked up with a Part 141 flight school run by an experienced chief instructor, and as soon as they hit the magic number, they were off the right seat at the regionals.
That's a problem. That's a major problem. And usually individuals that have lots of references, they tend to be more in the area of professional long-term flight instructors. You know, they've had the opportunity to go with the airlines, or they've been in the airlines and then have come back out and are spending their time as flight instructors. Flight instructor turnover has been a very serious problem in our industry. And the ones that are on the fast track to the airlines or the right seat of the regionals, they're not going to have time to build up those references. That's another reason for securing them. And then the question comes back to me, well, if I'm just starting out and I need references and I don't have any, what do I do? And my answer to that is, well, the shopping public, most of them don't have enough sense to ask for references, so you're going to earn students anyway, even without references. But for the Y shopper, buyer beware, caveat emptor. The Y shopper will go out and they will check references very, very carefully. And I admire those that come to my flight school and say, okay, give me the names of five or six people that you've trained. I'd like their phone number, email, and I'd like to talk with them if that's okay. We readily put those out there, and then they wind up coming back to us. So I think it's an important way to shop for anything, whether it's flight instruction, surgery, or even dealing with a car dealership and buying a car. There's nothing like a reference.
More in a moment with Bob Miller. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Freedom through control. Cirrus has completely reinvented the personal aircraft and the entire experience of owning a personal aircraft. It's a bold new take on private aviation that we call Cirrus Flying 2.0. You set the schedule. You chart the course. You're in control.
Piperjet.
Piper Match.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking with CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves about five things to look for when choosing a flight school. Bob, the third one on your list is quality aircraft. That's pretty obvious. Number four is professional affiliations. What kinds of affiliations should we want to see in from a flight instructor? And are professional accreditations awarded within the industry, such as master instructor, a meaningful guide of someone who's going to be a quality instructor?
You know, that's a hotly contested subject. I agree. But I will go out on a limb and say those flight instructors that do manage to affiliate with organizations such as SAFE, NAFI, National Association of Flight Instructors, they tend to at least have enough interest in the industry to improve their skills, whether it's through the Master Flight Instructor Certification Program, whatever. They're out there, and they're honing their skills. I think affiliations with the FAA under Part 141, this has certainly strengthened my own flight instruction operation. We've learned a lot through our 141 affiliation. I'm not saying that's the only route to go, but I want to tell you, I became a better flight instructor as a result of going through the process of qualifying as a 141. We're a Cessna Pilot Center. Cessna Aircraft Company gives lot of professionally well done curriculum materials that I can use with our students. The materials and record keeping systems that I just never had access to as a solo flight instructor working out of the trunk of my car. These affiliations help. They're certainly not the only fence or hurdle that you have to cross, but you know, almost in any other profession, whether you are a radio announcer or you are a physician or a lawyer, typically if you're active in your profession and you have affiliations with professional groups, chances are you're more committed to the profession, and likely that'll show in your performance.
All right, and the final one you mentioned is adequate resources. This affects what I, you know, the business jet community calls dispatch reliability, but I think in the instruction community, you know, sometimes we'll see somebody take some time off work with the idea of focusing on training, and then for, you know, something major goes wrong with the flight school's only trainer aircraft, and they burn their whole vacation and never get to fly. How common is this, and how big a fleet should you look for in a training operation?
Paul, this is a very serious problem. I've worked with small flight schools in the past that had one trainer, and when that airplane goes down for maintenance, we're out of business. If that airplane is taken on a trip by somebody who rents it for a week, we're out of business. I think every flight student ought to have the opportunity to have callback resources. We would like to have more airplanes in our fleet, but if something goes down, you know, we have four other airplanes that we can bring up online. We see this in larger airlines. If you know, if a mechanical affects Southwest operation, as we see right now with some of the grounding of their fleet, they, you know, with minimal schedule interruption, they can bring in additional aircraft to meet the demand. We have small upstart airlines working out of Niagara Falls back and forth to Fort Lauderdale, and they'll tell you right up front, if that airplane is not flyable on a particular day, that trip is not going to go. And so having backup resources, not only aircraft, but flight instructors. And we talked about this just a few minutes ago. When a flight instructor leaves, where does that leave the student? Well, we hate to see that happen, but we ought to have at least another well-qualified, equally qualified flight instructor that we can put right in there without missing a beat as far as the student is concerned. So economy of scale, having adequate resources to meet the demand, is just good, responsible management. And I think this should be part of anybody's selection criteria when looking for flight training.
Well, Bob, something to think about. I know that we have some prospective pilots who listen to these things as well. And maybe this will even drop a few hints for people who are getting into the flight instruction business. We appreciate your thoughts, and we'll talk to you again next Monday.
Okay, thanks, Bob.
You can find more info on Bob Miller's free monthly e-newsletter and flight training programs at overtheairwaves.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.